I'm turning to Colossians again, chapter 1, and tonight verses 13 and 14, where we have this. The Apostle Paul writes concerning believers, concerning Christians. He writes in verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And I think in these two verses we have three great needs of men and women and of youngsters, three of the greatest needs of our lives and of our souls. Those three great needs, you see them here in our verses. We need to be delivered, we need to be translated, and we need to be redeemed. Well, now, friends, of course, to the skeptics, to even announce this would have them saying, "This is mumbo jumbo. What do you mean to be delivered? What does it mean? Translated. What is this? To be redeemed?" A word that is still in the English language, but how many know what it means? And so many would laugh at such a thing. But even with a little thought, it will show us how great is our need. Well, a three-point sermon here tonight. First of all, to be delivered. Here is a great need. We may need to be delivered. Well, delivered from what? Well, from all sorts of things. Here, the power of darkness. But even before considering that, so many need to be delivered from all sorts of things. It's not something we're unacquainted with. We might, excuse me, we might even think to ourselves, "Well, to be delivered, I don't need to be delivered. What does this man mean?" But, well, you think of it. How many in this world need to be delivered, first of all, from such a thing as poverty? Well, of course, we understand that. We see the scenes on our television screens and we feel for them. They need to be delivered from the very poverty of their lives. In other situations, of course, so many people in this world need to be delivered from the cruelty of man. We see it in some dictatorships. We see it in more domestic circles. Well, of course, we understand that. Oh, how many we would love to see delivered from the very cruelty that is imposed upon them. For others, something more straightforward, perhaps closer to home. Some need to be delivered from loneliness. I don't think I've given any great secret away, but there's a gentleman that rings me up almost every day when he talks, and some have said to me, "Well, why do you answer the phone? He's not going to say much." Well, I often say, "Well, the man's lonely. He's lonely. There's so few people that he can talk to." Maybe the other folk he rings up don't answer. But you see, loneliness. People need to be delivered from loneliness. So many lonely people, even in this great and busy city of ours. Well, of course, our youngsters, they need to be delivered from boredom, don't they? But even many older folk, they're bored. They look at the same old television programmes. They go through a routine. Maybe even they're at work. But work is so mundane, so boring. They need to be delivered from that. And every now and again, they get a little entertainment and a little pleasure. There's a little deliverance. But we understand that people need to be delivered from such things. Other people, they need to be delivered from sheer hard work, working all their lives, perhaps more than one job, just to make ends meet, just to pay the rent. Oh, they're in such a state, and they're just exhausted. They haven't got time even for family. They're just so hard at work all the time. And they come home exhausted, ready to drop in bed almost as soon as they get home, and then they're up in the morning early and away again. They need to be delivered from sheer hard work. Well, of course, many need to be delivered from sickness and acute disease. Our hospitals are overloaded with such folk. Of course, when someone finds a cure, when someone is helped in some way, either by a medicine or surgery, well, we're glad. We're so glad for them. They've been delivered from that great difficulty that they were in. Of course, well, the list goes on and on. The things that we need perhaps to be delivered from: bad housing, some folk. Well, other things more personal: bad habits. Habits that have gotten hold of them over the years and they can't kick them. They can't be helped in them. Oh, you try all sorts of therapy, it doesn't work. They need to be delivered from those terrible bad habits, personal habits that have spoiled their characters and ruined their lives. We need to be delivered, friends, from the lies that this world tells us. I read in a book just recently about one of the great news media agencies that we have, and I never realised that they're so slanted in how they bring the news over that it's almost as if it's lies. Talk about economy with the truth, but you only get one side of the picture so often, and over the years you listen to these things and really you're picking up a pack of lies. We need to be delivered from it. We need to know desperately what the truth is. We live in a day where so much media is full of fake news. What are we to believe? We need to be delivered from the lies of this world. Well, there's plenty that we need to be delivered from. Some folk are better off. Some people, we might say that their lives are more pleasant than most others. Good jobs, good circumstances, they would laugh at what I'm saying here. They would laugh at such a thing. They say, I don't need to be delivered from anything like that. What are you talking about? I'm happy. I don't need your God. I don't need your religion. I don't need your Christianity. That's what they would say to such a thing. But even in a quiet moment, perhaps some of these folk would even begin to think to themselves, what do I need to be delivered from? Perhaps it's from utter selfishness. They only ever think of themselves. Haven't really got any concern for any others, or perhaps only just one or two close to them. They need to be delivered from utter selfishness. Or perhaps growing dependence on things to stimulate the body, and need to be delivered from those things. Or for others, and you see this very often in this world with those that are better off, you see they need to be delivered from utter coldness and self-love. So self-interested, not interested in anyone else. They need to be delivered from that. It makes them really hollow people, cold people, really disgusting people when you really get hold of what this is. For some, they need to be delivered from great fears, from anxiety, dread even of tomorrow. I remember as a young man embarking on my first career, not that I've had any careers, but I was a trained teacher. And you know, I hated it. And even to get up in the morning and to go to work, it just horrified me. I needed to be delivered from that situation. The Lord soon delivered me from it. But it was horrifying. I dreaded the next day. Dreaded having to go into that classroom. Well, I hope there's no teachers here this morning, this evening that feel the same. And some are very gifted at that sort of thing. But for me, it was just an absolute horror. Well, there may be some things in your life which even now you think about tomorrow, and it just fills you with horror and anxiety and fear and a wretched feeling. And you need to be delivered from that, perhaps. So many things. Fears for the family. Fears concerning job and health. Oh, to be delivered from so many things. You cannot just say, I don't need to be delivered. You can see there are so many things that we need to be delivered from. But look here. Look at here at this word of scripture. The power of darkness. What's that? Sounds awful, doesn't it? It sounds awful. Perhaps it sounds even more awful than some of the things that I've been speaking of. Darkness that has a power over us. Even the very words don't seem very easy to understand. Do you know, in the Old Testament, when Moses was sent to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, from the bond slavery that they were in, one of the plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians was darkness. And I've always been intrigued, even as a young lad, to think, what did that mean? Because it said that that was a darkness that could be felt. How do you feel darkness? Well, you just think about it for a moment. Darkness that might be felt. Well, they were so filled with horror because, you see, this darkness went on for 3 days. It wasn't, say, the dark of the night and you can't quite find the switch by the bedside lamp. But you know the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. You know that things are going to be fine. Well, in that situation, you understand that it's not so bad. There's no fear. But here, for those Egyptians, it was a darkness that could be felt. They felt that the very judgment of God was upon them. I'm sure of that. They felt a very foreboding future was ahead of them. They felt that this was only going to end in disaster. That was a darkness that could be felt. What is this power of darkness? The power that darkness has over us. What makes this so bad is that we've hardly got an inkling of what it is. This is a darkness that is not so much something that we cannot see, but really something where we are absolutely left in the dark. We just don't know. It has a power over us, so that we just cannot sort of understand it in any way at all. We don't see what's going on. We're not able to do the right thing, or to see where we're going, or what we're doing. So what is this power of darkness that we need to be delivered from? I think you don't need to tell me to tell you, of course, that this is a spiritual thing. This power, although you can understand it in the ordinary sense, a power, a control, a holding, a thing that's not easily broken, power like perhaps a fearful dictator, as in history we've often had, where all the citizens have been petrified to step out of line or to contradict that great power or that authority and what they want, and everyone that does is annihilated. We hear a little of this coming out of North Korea. Why, that dictator there has such a power over the citizens of that country. Why, they know if they step out of line a little, something horrible will happen to them. Why, we hear such stories. I want to repeat it, but just to give you an idea, a couple of years ago, I think the brother of that dictator, we hear, stepped out of line. And what happened to him? Well, the story was that he was stripped of his clothing and put into a room with savage dogs. And that was the end of him. Friends, you see the power that someone might have over people, and the people in that country hear such a story. Why? No wonder they're all lined up. No wonder they all do what they're told. No wonder they all eat so little, because that country can't feed them. They're in absolute horror of that power that is over them at that time. But you see, this is the power of darkness. It has such a controlling influence in our lives. You don't come to this darkness and think, well, it doesn't matter. This is something we can't see. We're not aware of it. You see, this is a power that we need to be delivered from. And even far more sinister than the power of, say, a Stalin or a Hitler, someone like that. This is something we need to be made aware of. And the Bible tells us here, even in such a verse as this, where it says we need to be delivered from the power of darkness. This phrase, power of darkness, shows us here is something spiritual. It is otherworldly. It strikes us as something devilish, even a spell. Although this is not fairy tale that we're talking about here. A spell that we need to be delivered from. This darkness is a darkness that has a grip on us. It has a hold on us and on our minds and on our hearts. The power of darkness, let me tell you, this is certainly the power of Satan, our soul's great enemy, who, though once an angel of light, is now darkness itself and is reserved in chains of darkness. He is the ruler of the darkness of this world. His kingdom is the kingdom of darkness, and he blinds the minds of those that have not been delivered from this power of darkness. Satan keeps the undelivered in darkness and increases the natural darkness of their minds. He delights in works of darkness and tempts men to them, and his everlasting state and portion will be the blackness of darkness. His power over men before they are delivered, that he exercises over them, is so very great. The Bible calls Satan the prince of darkness. The Bible calls Satan the one that blinds the minds and the hearts of people in this world. He works in them and leads them captive at his will to believe all that is the very opposite of what God would tell us. God, the light of this world, we need to be delivered. We need to be delivered from the power of darkness. Now, in case we should think, well, this is all too much. How can I believe this sort of highfalutin teaching of the Christians from the Bible that I need to be delivered? But we are in the dark, friends. We are in the dark about the very existence of God himself. So many people go around and say, there is no God, I don't believe in such a thing. They're in the darkness. In the dark concerning the very existence of that God that made us and placed us in the world. We're in the dark about ourselves and about how good we think we are. We're in the dark concerning ourselves and our eternal destiny. We've no idea about these things. We're in the dark about our eternal danger before this God of righteousness who will judge us one day to see whether we have trusted in his word and believed him. We are in such eternal danger. We're in darkness about salvation. We get a smattering of it. We come to church sometimes and we get the idea of it's something to do with the cross of Christ. It's something to do with him bearing the sins of his people. And if we trust in him, then we can go to heaven. But we haven't really grasped it. Otherwise we would be saved and we would know him. You see, we're in the dark even about salvation. Oh, friends, we are in the dark concerning the love of God. Well, if God is love, he'll have me into his heaven. If God is love, well, he'll have mercy on my soul. But friends, we're in the dark concerning the very character of God. That not only is he a God of love and mercy and marvellous grace, he is also a God of righteousness and of judgment. And he will judge, even though in his mercy he calls us to himself to come and believe and trust in him and know his very forgiveness. Oh, friends, we're in the dark about the great creating God and maker of this world and ourselves. We go through life as if it were nothing at all. Where this world came from, where we came from. God made us. He placed us in this world. He has very real and important purposes for our being here in this world. That we might bring glory to God as we seek him and know his blessing and his help. But we're in the dark concerning all those things. They don't mean anything to us. Oh, friends, we are in the dark about how bad we have been and how offensive we are to our holy God. Oh, friends, we have offended in breaking all his holy law. And we are offensive in the eyes of God, as the lepers were at the time of our Saviour. They were offensive in the sight of people round about them. We are lepers, spiritual lepers, in the sight of God. But we're in the dark about that. We think we're so wonderful, so clean, so high good people. We are generous. Well, we have such darkness about our own characters. We haven't got a clue, really, about how we are seen through God's eyes, from his eyes, from a holy heaven. My friends, we're in the dark about our sin. We're in the dark about practically everything concerning our stand before God. We are in very great spiritual danger as we stand before him and will be judged. You know, it's a wretched thing. The very worst of our troubles, if we would know it, we are in the dark. And the prince of darkness and the power of darkness holds us tight in an iron grip. Satan has us and even is laughing that we do not believe such a thing. And as we laugh at such a thing, then the devil also has smiles, as it were, because he knows we're in the dark. What would it be, friends, to be delivered? What would it be, friends, to be delivered from the power of darkness? Christ can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ can do it. He has done it for multitudes down the centuries. That's what salvation is. That's what the gospel message that we preach here on a Sunday evening, week by week, is all about. How Christ delivers us from the power of darkness. He floods the soul with light. He shows us our sin. He shows us our need. He shows us what must happen if we are to be saved. He shows us the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord was doing upon that cross. He shows us the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Saviour. He shows us how we must come to him. He shows us, he gives us light. He floods our souls with light so that we might see how we need to repent, sorrow over our sin, and have done with that old sort of life. He shows us how we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He shows us, we see it at last, how we must yield up our lives completely to him, to be his, to be delivered from the power of darkness. He shows us what this world is all about. and its lies and its wickedness and its evilness. Oh, he shows us how we're to be delivered from even the tragedy of this world, what it really is. He shows us what a grip Satan has upon our souls. He shows us our own hearts. He shows us spiritual realities, the truth of God's word, that eternity looms, heaven and earth. He makes us to cry out for salvation. And all this light floods the soul, the understanding, the heart. That is the deliverance. That is the deliverance from the power of darkness. We see it. There was once a blind man. He's blind from his birth. He'd never seen anything. Not an inkling of light. Not just the tiniest little bit of light in his life. He was blind from his birth. The Lord Jesus sent him to the pool of Siloam with mud on his eyes and said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He was given faith to believe he should go. He went, and as he came to the pool, he washed the mud out of his eyes. Oh, and for the first time in his life, he saw, and he came back, and his testimony was, I was blind, but now I see. He was delivered from his darkness. We need that, friends. We need to be delivered from the power of darkness. Oh, he had been delivered. So must we be. This is our first great need, to be delivered. But it only gets better, friends. Look at this verse we have here. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Once we've been delivered, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. He translates us. This is our second great need, to be translated. Does that seem mysterious to you? Now, you must not think, of course, that this is the immediate kingdom of heaven that is to come, that glorious heaven which comes to those that trust in the Saviour when they quit this world. But there is a kingdom that is immediate, a spiritual kingdom, immediate upon being delivered from the power of darkness. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got a vague memory of maths lessons in school where you learnt about translation? I'm not talking about French or German here, that's something very different. But in mathematics, you had a circle or a triangle or some sort of shape, and it was set in coordinates on the Cartesian chart, you know, the X and the Y and that sort of thing, all that sort of stuff. And you translated the shape, say 4 points along the X line and 10 points up the Y line, and there it was, translated. It was still the same shape, still the circle or the rectangle or something else, still the same shape, but it was in a different place. When someone is delivered from the power of darkness, they are translated to a different place. You hardly notice, in some respects. Well, of course, this is all spiritual. You have the same face, you have the same hair, same home, job, of course. But spiritually, that delivered person is in an entirely different place. Once they were in the grip of Satan and in darkness, now they're in the spiritual kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of darkness was a kingdom of darkness. The power was an authority, and the power was Satan. It was his kingdom, and all was darkness. But now the kingdom of his dear Son, God's dear Son. Nothing could be more different. You have not become an angel, but you are in an entirely different place. Safe, delivered, free, on the way to glory, and seeing so much that you never saw before. Loving the Bible, seeing the world as it really is. So different, so different. We need to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's something wonderful and glorious. Now, some might slightly object to that illustration of the maths learning that we had years ago. But that's right, because though we are the same person in a different place, there is a third thing that we need, and it's here in this verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And there is this third great need, and that is redemption, forgiveness. And that not only changes our place, it changes us. We need to be redeemed. We need to be forgiven. And that changes us. We read here, in whom we have redemption. The word means bought with a price. Christ purchases us. We read here that it's by his blood. Whenever you read of the blood of Christ in the New Testament, it means his death. His death upon the cross. Oh, we were lost to him as well as these creatures, but he bought us back. There was a cost, a death. There was a cross. But by that cross, we are redeemed. We are forgiven. This is like the slave in the old world, or perhaps even still in some places today. Bought out, freed, the price paid. Youngsters, have you gone to sleep? Wake up a little now. I've got something for you. What does it mean to be redeemed? Well, I'll tell you. There was a time before the Civil War in America, before the slavery was abolished, and there were the slave trades in the deep south of the United States of America, and there would be the slave markets. And you go down the market, and there standing on the barrels would be the slaves that were for sale. And there would be an old man, and he wouldn't be worth much. You could get him for just a few dollars. And then there would be a very strong young man with bulging muscles, and he would cost you a lot of money if you want to buy him as a slave. And then there would be children, and depending on how healthy they were, and you'd look in their mouth and look at their teeth to see how they were, well, you would pay a certain amount. Now, there was a gentleman, and he was walking one Saturday down the slave market, and he could see all the slaves for sale. He'd seen it before. And there was a tear in his eye. He was a Christian gentleman, and he hated to see it. And it was a wretched thing to him. And children, I have to say, that as he was walking through this slave market, he saw particularly a young girl. She was about 12 years of age. And he looked at her, and she was a beautiful child. Pretty face, beautiful, gleaming eyes. And she had long limbs, and she was well made. She looked very nice. But what he really noticed about her was this. Her crying. Now, he'd seen slaves crying in the slave market before. And he'd seen children crying in the slave market before. He knew all about that. But this girl was sobbing. Sobbing her heart out. She was in a terrible state. She was shaking with fear. And some of us know why. Because if she was sold to some cruel man, who knows what might have happened to her. And he walked up and down the market as he did, and in his heart he prayed for those poor slaves. And then he walked back, and there was this girl still. Oh, she was in such a state. Floods of tears, and she was being hit once or twice by her owner at that time, who didn't want her to cry so much. He wanted to get a good price for her, and he would have done. Well, as he went back, his heart was filled with such pity that he went over to the owner. How much? How much for the girl? He was told, and it was an extraordinary amount of money, far more than you would usually pay for such a slave. But he dipped into his pocket, and he pulled out so many dollars, and he bought the slave. And then he wrote out a piece of paper. He wrote out a piece of paper, and the girl was still crying, and he wrote out this piece of paper, and he gave it to the girl, and he began to walk off. Well, the girl couldn't read. And so she said, "What does it mean? What does it mean?" And someone smiled and said, "That's your freedom certificate. He's freed you. He's redeemed you. You're not a slave anymore." And for a moment, she couldn't believe what was happening. She couldn't understand what was happening. And then she began to run. She began to run after the man. And she began to call out. And she pointed to him and said, "He redeemed me. He redeemed me." And all the people laughed. And they thought it's such fun to see her run after the man. "He redeemed me. He redeemed me." Well, she followed him home. And he said, "You're free. You go where you like. Do what you like." "No, no, you've redeemed me. I'm yours. Tell me what to do." Many years later, when the man was very old and very ill, there was that same lady. Well, she'd grown pretty old herself now, but still she was working hard, looking after him, seeing to his every need, or seeing everything that delighted him, reading the Bible to him. Everything was done to make that man so happy. She looked after him in every way possible. People used to come into the house And they used to say, why do you stay with this old man? Why is it you work so hard? You're free. I understand that you're not really a slave. And anyway, the civil war's happened now, and all the slaves have been emancipated. You could go where you like. You could earn some money. And she only ever had one reply. He redeemed me. He redeemed me. You see, she was bought with a price and made free. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He redeems those that he delivers from the power of darkness, and he translates them, he moves them into his spiritual kingdom, and now they're his. And you see, that redemption and that forgiveness of sins, it changes them. So now they live in love and worship and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the three great needs that we have. We need to be delivered from very great darkness. Oh, we need to be translated. We need to be put in a different place, a different kingdom, in the kingdom of his dear Son. And we need to be redeemed. Our sin needs to be paid for. Our sin needs to be forgiven. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ can that happen, our friends. And then someone becomes a worshipper, a lover of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved them and gave himself for them. Do you understand it? Do you see it? Did it seem mumbo jumbo to you as we came to it here this morning? Oh, this evening? Do you see? These are three of our greatest needs. We need to be delivered from the power of darkness. We need to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We need to be redeemed. Cry out to him. Cry out to this merciful Saviour. Ask him to deliver you, to translate you, to forgive you all your sin. Amen.